If you ever a little time, your quiet time, if you could just spend a few seconds perhaps praying for me for tomorrow, I'd really appreciate it. Who would like to open up in prayer? Someone? Okay.
Father, I just thank you for this day, Father, that you have gathered this year, Father, that you may speak to us, Father. Father, that our ears would be open to whatever you have for us, Father. Father, that you would just touch our hearts, Father. That you would start a fire inside us, that will not allow, Father. Father, that we can just be open to whatever you have for us, Father. Father, that we would just abide in you, Father. That your will be done, Father, not ours. And I just ask all these things in the Son's name. Amen.
You know, since childhood, I suppose all of us have learned about the cross of Christ and how Jesus died for our sins on Calvary. And whenever I look at the cross of Christ, there's two things which I see. Not whenever, but I do see two things. And the one is the love that God the Father, which we are going to meet in heaven, had for us, that he sent his only Son to die on a plank for us. And the other thing I see when I look at the cross of Christ is how serious God was. I don't know how serious we are, but how serious God was about hell. That he sent his only Son to die on a plank with nails through his hands, just so that he could save us from that place. My grandfather sometimes says, you can tell how bad hell is going to be just by how far God is willing to go to save us from it. It's a terrifying place. But we all know, we've learned from when we were little children, that there were men there who cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But they forgot something. They didn't know it. They didn't know that this is the Son of God. John 1 verse 1 to 4 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Peter 1 Peter verse 24 and verse 25 says, The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God endureth forever. And those people shouting out to Christ, crucify him, crucify him, forgot or did not know that this is the word that endureth forever. And in 3 days' time after that, this man on a plank was going to rise again, and one day he was going to be there to judge them. In Europe, I don't know if you know your church history, but in Europe, in Bohemia and across Europe, in the days when the Pope had a big influence across Europe, the church did a most terrifying and horrible thing. They sent out orders across the land burn the Bibles. Destroy them. We do not want the normal people like you and me to read Bibles. And in one place, a priest said to the people, bring the Bibles together. And these holy words that endure forever were piled up on a big heap. The flames went up. But near to the pile, there was a man standing. And a little piece of paper, two pieces of paper, flew in the air and came and rested in front of him. And he picked one of them up. And he read these words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And even if they burn the Bibles, this book, every single word is not a lie. Every single word shall endure forever. And one day we are going to be judged according to this book. But what does the word which endureth forever say? John 3 verse 3 says, verily, verily, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Those are staggering words, and every single one of them is true. When one day we die or the Lord comes, and we are not born again, we will be cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It says Revelation 20 verse 15. Now, if we look at the world, there's approximately 1 billion people who think that they're Christians, including the Catholics. And if you ask any of them, well, let's say there's about 100 million who profess to be evangelically saved. And if you ask any of them, are you born again? They will say, yes, of course I am. I repented on that day. And that's wonderful. But how do we know? How do we know with certainty, without a doubt, that we are born again? That when we die, we're not going to be cast into that lake of fire. Well, first of all, my grandfather, he's also a preacher in South Africa, he's about 74 years old. He always sometimes talked about this pig. Do they have pigs in America, I suppose? I'm sure. And this pig, I should say the little girl had the pig, not the pig and the little girl. The little girl had this pig. And she came to her mother, said, Mommy, can I please take this pig into the house? And the mom said, no. It's dirty. It's got mud on it. It's going to ruin the sofa, I suppose. Then the little girl took the pig, took it to the river, and washed it in the river, and brought it back to his mommy. Opened the door and went into the house. That was very nice. But one day, the door was open of the house, and the pig went out the door, and it went straight to the mud. And of course, the mother wasn't very happy about that. Perhaps it came in and messed up the couch. But you know something? Many Christians are like this, or people who call themselves Christians. They stop their sins. But God never gave them a new heart. They say, Lord, make me thy child, and then they stop their sins. But they're like that pig. Even though it's been washed out on the outside, the inside is still the heart of a pig. I met a man earlier this year. When I was walking through a town, I saw a little garage open, and I walked into the garage. I saw a man sitting over there, and I said to him, after I'd looked on his wall, and I saw on his wall the most terrifying, ugly, evil thing. I don't want to tell you what it was. that it was terrifying that he could have something like that in his war. And I said to him, are you a Christian? And he said, yes. I said, how do you know you're a Christian? And he said, I believe in God. So then I asked him another question. I said, are you born again? And he said, of course I am. I know I'm born again, definitely. And then his world was this evil, evil picture. Faith without works is dead. It says, James, even faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have gone down on your knees and prayed, Lord, save me from my sins. Wash me in the blood. And I say this carefully. And God has not given you a new heart. New works, which cometh out of the heart. And Luke, the Gospels preach it very, a good man of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. If God has not given you a new heart, as Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says, and a new heart also will I give you. Take away the heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. It goes on to say that it will cause you to walk in my statutes. Even if you prayed on the floor and asked God to save you, and God hasn't changed you. Therefore, every man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are become new. God hasn't done that. Then you are not born again. If you are born again, then you will have certainty. 1 John 5 verse 13 says, I write these things unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God doesn't joke when he says ye may know. I once, at a little farm where I was speaking to the people and God was moving in his mercy, I once walked past a group of a few people, all of them so-called, in Afrikaans we call it bekeer, repented people. They believe they're born again, going to heaven. And I said to one of them, to this group, I know, just as I passed them, I know that if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. And I forgot about it, I think. And then a few months later, one of those ladies, she met me and she said to me, Roy, there's two things I remember about you and this friend that is with you. The one was the love that you had for each other. And the other one is that you said, I know I'm going to heaven if I die now. She said, I didn't understand that. I couldn't understand it. And I started to seek God. She said, I've come to the point where I know that if I die now, I'm going to heaven. This is the Bible says, the word of God, which shall never cease, which endureth forever. I write these things unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That lady I talked about earlier this morning, that died, her husband, who was anointed more afterwards, when I phoned him, and he told me that his wife had died, I asked him this question. I said, what did she say? What did she say before she died? What were her last words? And she said, she called all the family into the room. And she said she was smiling. She said, I just want to tell you, I'm going home to Jesus. She knew. If you're born again, then you will know that you're born again. And if you die, right now, if someone stabs me in the back, I know I'm going to heaven. It's funny. how many people stand on a false foundation nowadays. There was a person at our college, a Bible college, who went right through, probably the best Bible college in the land. My dad lectures there. He came out, he testified that he was sanctified. And he found out afterwards he wasn't even born again. And God saved him, and now God is mightily using him. In a church my grandfather preached there, I remember out of the door coming a person, and he said to my grandfather in Afrikaans, another language, "I built the church." I was very proud. And he shook my grandfather's hand. Old person. Next person came and said, "I'm the deacon. I'm the elder." There was about five of them. And then my grandfather preached to that church on the rich man and Lazarus, who were of hell. And the rich man in hell saying, "Oh Lord, just give me one little drop of water." And you know who came out when my grandfather asked, "Do you know that you're saved?" It was only five people. The person who built the church, the deacon, the elders, the most respected in the church. They were never born again. Philippians 4 verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." As the verse in Romans says, "The Spirit of the Lord bears witness of my spirit that I am a child of God." I don't know if I'm quoting that right. But in my experience, I'd like to be honest with you today. You can't preach and not be honest. I did not always have peace about my salvation. I was a very bad swimmer. I don't know if you guys are good swimmers, Americans, but in the sea, when we swam there, the current used to take you out, and I nearly drowned, I think, three times in my life. And I remember every single time having a great fear coming upon me that if I died, I was not ready. Even though the Lord had given me souls, had answered my prayers, had used me. When I drowned nearly, I did not have peace. I feared greatly. And this peace that God speaks about is a peace that passes understanding. It's not the peace that you have when your mommy and daddy tuck you into bed. It's not the peace you have when you eat an ice cream. It's a peace that passes understanding. It's nothing that you can know on this earth unless God gives it to you. And I remember one day, last year, I started to pray. God made me desperate. And for 3 days, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then suddenly, at the end of those 3 days, a peace filled my heart, which I cannot understand. It wasn't an emotional thing like some people want. It was just my heart told me that if I die now, it doesn't matter, I'm going to heaven. My heart. And it's never ever left me after those first few days. It cannot leave me. I can tell myself of any sin in my head that my heart tells me I'm going to hell. There's a boy that I know. I've never ever met a person with more zeal. He will go into the streets and he will drag souls. He will go anywhere to just find a soul. And I told him this peace, the witness of the Spirit. And I said, "It's never left me." And he said, "Rubbish." I said, "You're lying. Can't be. But you never doubt that if you die, you're going to heaven." And you know what? That person, who I've never, ever, ever seen anybody with more zeal for souls, my entire life. It wasn't long before he was kneeling down beside me. Glenn. And he prayed unto God, and he said, God, I've been a hypocrite. He wasn't even born again. The great Tory said the reason why most people do not have peace about their salvation is because they're not saved. It's no joke. When God says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. About the peace, it's not that you're not saved if you do not have this peace, but you're taking a big, 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 big chance with the grace of God if you do not know that you are born again. And it's not a chance worth taking. It's not a chance. God says, cut off your hand rather than go into hell. It's not a chance worth taking not having this peace. Lastly, the reason why it's not worth a chance is because death is such an uncertain thing, and nowadays the coming of the Lord. King Solomon wasn't such a good man at times, but he did help me out. He gave me an illustration. Ecclesiastes, I think. He talked about a fish. He said, life is like a fish. Happy, swimming about. Not a worry in the world. Unless someone eats you, perhaps. Then suddenly a net comes. Sorry. And that fish is dead. And it never ever has another chance. It's like this. You never ever know when death is going to come. It's not worth taking a chance with the Word of God. I used to say to the children in South Africa, I love working with the children. Some people say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But what is an apple going to help you if a car rides you over? I once, my granny, she's a wonderful person, she once complained. She said, I'm getting old, I'm going to die soon. She said, Granny, don't worry. The Queen Mother of England, she's 100 and she's going strong, she's not going to die. So Granny said, Roy, haven't you heard? She died today. You never ever know when someone's going to die. And it's not worth taking a chance with this word. The cross of Christ, that plank, proves that hell exists. And the cross is the only chance you have of saving you from hell. Isaiah 1 verse 18. You know it so well. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, that your sins be as scarlet. You know what? It doesn't say, come now and let us reason together. It says, come now and let us reason together. Not later. It's so serious, God sent his only son to die on a plank to save us from hell. He doesn't say, come later. He says, now. It's not worth taking the chance of your life. I'm Keith Daniel's son, but it was only last year I got peace. I'm honest. Won't you be honest with God today? If you don't know that you are born again. Life, says the Bible, I think it's Thessalonians, like a vapor. It's gone like this. Could we bow our heads? I'm going to ask you to do something very hard. But it's not worth taking the chance of eternal life. If you've never come to the point where you know. I'm honest with you. I only came to that last year, even though the Lord had used me before. You haven't come to the point where you know that you are born again. I'd like you to admit it to God by sticking your hands up now. Thank you very much for those hands. I suppose most of you put up your hand to give yourself a prayer. I'd like to keep your heads down. I'd like those of you who did not put up your hand to go somewhere, and I'd like to do a big favor. Could you pray for those people who did? Because they're going to stay behind. You said you'd give your life to prayer. I give myself into prayer. Please do it. Or you're a hypocrite. Pray for these people who put up their hands. Could those who put up their hands, could they stay behind? And then those who did not could leave quietly, please.